Chapter number 13, Hebrews chapter number 13, we've been talking about the mission of the church. Hebrews chapter 13, if you'll put that slide up there for me, Tanner. God's call, living the call, eight foundations that the church must stand upon. All right, next slide for me. God's call to His children. Now this call, as I've reiterated several times, and I'm going to continue to reiterate it, this is God's call to His children, okay? First one is to evangelize, proclaim the gospel. That's our number one task. Number two is to edify, using your spiritual gifts to help others grow in God. Like this morning, the singing, the leading of the singing, the presentation of the missions, that's all edifying. That's all helping people grow in their walk with the Lord. All right, number three, and then to affect society, showing the light by being the light. Showing the light, that's Jesus Christ, by being Jesus to our community, to our surrounding. There's people that will never come in these back doors. There's people who will never darken the doors and come in and sit down in these pews, but we're not to invite them only to come. We're to be the church outside of here. So I want us all to show the light by being the light. All right? So one of the pillars we talked about a couple weeks ago, one of the pillars is to love each other with abandon. To love each other with abandon. Number two is to minister to one another. Number three is to stand with those who cannot stand alone, all right? And the fourth one we talked about last week was dependence on God for everything. His protection, depend upon God for everything. All right, that's four of the pillars. We're going to talk about a fifth pillar this morning. So if you go to the next slide for me, know and trust biblical doctrine. To know and trust biblical doctrine. Look verse number 7 here of chapter 13. To know and to trust biblical doctrine. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. See, here's the key in verse number 7. It says, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Doctrine is simply a way that we live our life, a way that we dictate what we do. You've got a doctrine that tells you how to move forward. Like in the military, the UCMJ told us how we're to live as a military member. Tells us and dictated to us how to follow it. If we got away from the UCMJ, then we had to be brought back to it. Biblical doctrine tells us how to live for God. But here's the great thing about biblical doctrine. It is not just written down on a piece of paper, rules and regulations for us to follow, that if we mess them up, then God's going to destroy us. Absolutely not. Biblical doctrine tells us how to live in freedom in Jesus Christ. Now here's the situation though. When we start talking about doctrine, people start getting scared. How many of you received a piece of paper when you came in this morning? Okay? Brother AJ did a great job handing those things out. At the end of the service, I don't want you reading them right now, but at the end of the service you can take them and fold them, put them in your Bibles and open them up, and it shows you different doctrines that we believe as a church. These are doctrines that we must stand upon and understand where they're coming from and why we do them. If you don't have biblical doctrine, if you don't have a basis of truth based upon the Bible, then you're going to fall for anything. Melissa and I talk about this all the time. If you don't stand on something firm, you're going to fall for anything that comes along. Let me ask you a question. As a Christian, what is your stance for the Lord? What are you counting on? What is your basis for why you do what you do? So you've got to have a foundation. You've got to have a basis. You've got to have something that tells you and directs you and guides you into what you're supposed to do and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to follow the Bible, then you've got to follow something. And my question is, if you don't want to follow the Bible, where are you going to find something that compares to God's Word? Doctrine. You've got to know and trust biblical doctrine. But there's a danger. There's a lot of false teachers out there who will take the Bible and they will skew it. And they will twist it, and they'll try to make it seem what they want it to seem instead of what the Bible truly teaches, brother and sisters. I want you to understand this. As long as I am your pastor, as long as I have the privilege of standing here, I want to be able to stand upon the Word of God. I don't want to teach you anything that is contrary to what this Word says. Because if I do, I don't need to be doing what I'm doing. Now, how will you know if I'm teaching what this Word says? How will you understand if this is what I am actually teaching? By having a copy of it yourself. By opening it up. By reading along with me. If somebody ever gets up in front of you and says, you don't need your Bibles, just listen to what I got to say, then you don't need to be listening to that. You've got to have God's Word, because man fails, but God never does. I love in the book of Acts where it says that the Bereans, after they heard Paul speak, they then went back and checked it to see if it's what the Word of God really said. And so that's why I always give you the Bible verses. That's why I give you the references, so that you can go back and read them when you're not here. You can read them while you're here, but then you can go back and read them while you're not here. So before we get into this, I want you to hold your finger, or go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me real quick. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We refer to this all the time, and I hope that you get it memorized. But 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. Some of you knew where I was going already, and I hope you did. But I want you to memorize these verses right here. Hide them in your heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes to Timothy and he gives him some assurance. And he helps Timothy to understand where he's coming from. Helps Timothy understand where biblical doctrine comes from. It says this. All Scripture, from the very beginning, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration is God breathed. God led these writers. The 40 different authors that we have that wrote the 66 books that we have in the canon of Scripture, it says that God breathed on them. God led them. God directed them to write these very words. That's what we mean by the Word of God. All Scripture is given, it's a gift from God by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. There it is. It's profitable for doctrine, for understanding what we stand upon, for understanding where we do and what we do and why we do it. Let me ask you a question. If somebody asks you a Bible question, if somebody asks you, how do I know I have eternal life? If somebody asks you, how do you know what the future holds? If somebody asks you, hey, how do I know, and they're trying to ask you a Bible question, can you answer them? Can you take them to Scripture and give them a Bible answer? Or do you say this? Well, my pastor says. Or I was listening to so-and-so on the radio and they said this. Well, okay, but brothers and sisters, it ought not to be, thus saith Brian Schuller. It ought not to be, thus says David Jeremiah. It ought not to be, thus says Charles Stanley. It ought to be, thus saith the Word of God. Because here's the issue. Too many human beings are taking the precious Word of God and twisting it to make it say what they want it to say. And people are listening and following it and going right down the primrose path to destruction. And it's destroying families, it's destroying churches, it's destroying this country, it's destroying this world, because people have left Bible doctrine and have started listening to man's doctrine. If you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to know Jesus Christ your Savior, then you are not going to make and do the decisions that our society is doing right now. It's not going to happen. That is not biblical doctrine. Can I get an amen this morning? Vote based upon biblical doctrine, not based upon the semantics of what human beings say, not based upon personalities. Vote as a Christian based upon what the Word of God clearly teaches. And most importantly, vote. Because brothers and sisters, as a Christian, we have the right to stand up for God. And one of the best ways we have of standing up for God is voting based upon the Scripture and what God's Word says. We'll say, Brother Brian, who do you want me to vote for? I want you to vote for who God tells you to vote based upon the Word of God. There it is. It's profitable for doctrine. It's also profitable for reproof. In other words, for telling us when we're wrong. God's Word will tell us when we're wrong. God's Word will tell us, hey, wrong direction. It will also tell us correction, how to live when we're wrong, and how to get that corrected. And then for instruction in righteousness, how to live while we're living for Christ. And what's the purpose for it? Verse 17. That the man, and not talking about just males, that the human being, those the child of God, that the child of God may be perfect. That means mature and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has given us His Word. He's given us biblical doctrine so that we may know how to live and grow in that. Brothers and sisters, we must all want to grow closer to God. Well, Brother Brian, it's your responsibility to feed us. Yes, it is. But here's the absolute truth. If I only feed you two times a week, Sunday and Wednesday night now, and that's the only time that you feed on the Word of God, you are going to become emaciated and you are going to die spiritually. You've got to feed yourself spiritually. Amen? So I'm going to give you three passages. I'm going to give you three hunks of meat this morning to chew on all week long. Three hunks of meat that talk about knowing and trusting biblical doctrine. I want you to write these scriptures down. We're going to read them together, but I want you to write them down, and I want you to meditate on this week. I want you to put them in a big old pot of spiritual stew, and I want you to turn it on slow, and I want you to turn it on low, and I want you to meditate on this all week long, what God's Word is teaching. And when you'll do that, it's going to grow you in the Lord. You're going to get some big old chunks of meat out of there. You're going to get some gravy that you better put on biscuits. It'll help you grow. I don't know if you've got the same problem I do, but it seems that the COVID has shrunk my clothes. And I can't explain that. Go to Galatians chapter 1 with me. First hunk. Galatians chapter number 1. Paul was concerned about this because when he would leave a place and he would do teaching and would teach the Word of God, he would send an epistle to a church, to a place, and he would leave, then what would happen is false teachers would come in behind him and give them false doctrine. And Paul's trying to help them understand, listen, don't listen to the false doctrine. I've given you the true doctrine. Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 6, he starts out, he says this, I marvel, in other words, I am just flabbergasted, that's a good word, I am flabbergasted that you are so soon removed from Him, God, Jesus Christ, removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He says, listen, I am so astonished that as soon as I left and somebody came in behind me, that you are listening to him instead of the true Word of God. Verse number 7, he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They're coming in behind Paul and they're perverting it. In other words, they're making it and twisting it into something that is not the truth. They're perverts spiritually. Brothers and sisters, a perversion of the gospel of God is this, that you have to follow rules and regulations to be saved. That you have to be good enough to be saved. That you can lose your salvation. No, no, no. That's a perversion of the Word of God. That's a perversion of the gospel. The gospel is this, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on our behalf on a cross. He came to die for our sins. He was our substitute. He was our propitiation. He was the one who died and bled to pay for all of our sins forever and ever. And the gospel says that he was buried, that he rose again that third day, and right now he's in heaven alive. That's the gospel. And the only way to have salvation is by believing in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And a perversion of the gospel is that you could do everything and anything to get to heaven. There's all kinds of different ways. There are all kinds of different gods. No, there's only one true way, and that's Jesus Christ. And I don't care what so-and-so says, and professor so-and-so says, and doctor so. No! And that's what Paul is trying to get them to understand. There's only one way. It's perverted years if you believe something else. He says, verse number 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have preached unto you, let him be accursed. My goodness. He's pretty strong here. He says, if anybody else tries to tell you something different, let them be accursed. Let them be removed from God's presence. Let them become an anathema, is what that means. They're not worthy of being in God's presence if they're preaching another gospel. That's pretty strong words right there. Verse number 9, he says, and as we said before, so say I now again. He repeats it. If any preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Brothers and sisters, he says it twice. That's how wicked it is. That's how perverted it is, the gospel that's preached other than Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And if you claim to know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're going to live according to this word. And if you say, well, I know Jesus Christ, my Savior, but I'm going to live this way. And I know, then you're perverting the gospel. Does that make sense? Verse number 10. For I do now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men, he says. For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He says, listen, what I'm telling you is not popular. What I'm teaching you, he says, is not going to make me famous in political circles. It's not going to get me elected to a political position. It's not going to make me rich and famous with all society. He says, listen, if I want to please men, then I am no longer a servant of God. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to be a man pleaser. I want to be a servant of God by preaching the truth of the gospel. Brother Brian, how do you know what is true and what is not true? When I was in the Air Force, one of my jobs was to pay people. And when they would train me how to know what a counterfeit bill was, you know what they would do? They would give me the real money. And they would say, examine it, feel it, touch it, hold it up, examine it, so that when something fake comes along, then you'll know it's fake. How will you know if the gospel that you're hearing and being taught is perverted? By knowing what the truth is. Not being led astray by what man says. Now that's a hunk of meat that I want you to meditate on this week. Let me show you another hunk of meat. A hunk of meat. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I was going to sing Elvis. Thank you very much. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse number 11. Paul here writes to the church at Ephesus and he says, listen, here's the reason why God has given you these things. Why he's given you men and women. Why he's given these people in the spiritual gifts. Verse number 11, he says, and he gave, talking of God, the Holy Spirit through him, and he gave some apostles, and he gave prophets, and he gave evangelists, and he gave pastors and teachers. What's the reason that he gave us pastors? Why did he give us teachers? Why did he give us all these positions? Why? For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He says, listen, that's why we're here. That's why Tanner and I have been called here as your pastors. That's why our Sunday school teachers, when we get Sunday school started back again, and we're going to start it again, when we have our Sunday school teachers and we have our Awana and we have all these things, the reason God has placed people here to do those things is to help you be mature in the things of God. But brothers and sisters, it's not sufficient for you to hear teachers only. It's got to be you doing the feeding too. Verse number 13. Till why? And how long will this take place? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. And he says, until to the point where you're so mature and you're so to the point that you need no more teaching, then the teaching is going to be disappearing. Verse number 14. And what's the reason? That we henceforth or from now on be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. He says, listen, they're out there and they're perverting the gospel and they're perverting the word of God. He says, listen, stop being a child. Stop going to the vending machine of filth and picking out the sugary doctrine that the world is teaching to you, that makes you feel good, that agrees with the world. He says, stop, get out of that vending machine and go back to the true word of God. See, brothers and sisters, Hollywood and sports stars for the most part and politicians and things, they got a big old vending machine and society. And they say, here, pull this lever and we'll tell you how to think. Pull this lever, we'll tell you how to live. Brothers and sisters, that is garbage. Pull the lever of God's word and start growing in it. That's why I love having the little ones in here. It does not disturb me whatsoever to have them cutting up and walking. And it doesn't bother me. And it should not bother you. They're hearing the word of God. Would you rather have them outside climbing trees than not hearing the word of God? Absolutely not. Verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I love you enough, church, to tell you the truth of what God's word clearly says. Not because I'm angry, because I'm not angry. But because I want you to grow in God. Because one day, it's going to come a time where you're not going to be here with me. You might be out in society. You might be at home. You might be at a family reunion. You might be somewhere, and somebody's going to ask you what your faith is and why you believe it. You're not going to be able to get on the telephone and get a hold of me. You're going to have to know, thus saith the word of God. Or if you're asked, don't try to make something up. You know what you do? You say, hold on a minute, let me check on that. And then you go to the word of God and find the answer. The world doesn't mean, thus saith Brian Shuler. That's not what the world needs. The world needs, thus saith the word of God. All right, one more hunk. Let me give you another hunk to chew on this week. Go to Colossians chapter number 2. Like I said, I'm giving this to you so this week you can go back and read these words. Because this is God given to you. These words that I'm giving you, these are God's words. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 16. He says, Paul writing to the church of Colossae says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days." Those are just shadow of things to come. But instead, the body is of Christ. He says, listen, don't let anybody try to dictate to you that this is the day you're supposed to do that, and this is the day you're supposed to do this, and this is what you're supposed to eat, and you can't eat this. No, he says, listen, all that is just a shadow. All that is showing the coming of Christ. He says, verse number 18, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels." Say, listen, don't worship angels. Don't try to lift up angels and say, oh, this angel is worth worshiping. Wrong. Not of God. Wicked and nasty. And by the way, there's a cult out there that worships the angel Moroni. That's where the message that of this cult came from, an angel Moroni. Don't listen to it. You say, what is that? Church of Latter-day Saints. They got their message from an angel called Moroni. What does Paul say right here? Don't worship angels. Either you believe God or you believe man. Amen? "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, which is all the body, by joints and bands, having nourished, ministered, and knit together, increased with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" And here's the ordinances they were trying to tell them. "To touch not, to taste not, to handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments of doctrines of men." He says, listen, why are you letting men dictate to you what to do and what not to do? Why are you letting men dictate to you how you're to live and not to live? Why are you letting men put you under legal bounds? Brothers and sisters, if it's my conviction, okay. You don't have to follow my convictions. But bless God, you better follow God's convictions. Legalism will destroy. Biblicism will live. Get your convictions from this, not from what man says. Verse number 23, "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." If you just live according to legalism, it will satisfy your flesh, but it will destroy your spirit. Don't let legalism dictate. Let biblicism dictate. Know and trust biblical doctrine. That has got to be a foundation of the church. It's got to be. It's got to be. So let me ask you a question. I want you to consider this before, as we close this morning. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Well, yes. How do you know? Can you point to what Scripture says? Can you go to a Bible scripture, Bible doctrine? Can you find a verse that shows, "Thus saith the Lord of God"? If you can find it, and you're counting on that, then you know salvation. But just because maybe you signed a letter, or just because you might have got a baptism, or just because grandma went to church and so therefore you're... No, that is not sufficient. It's got to be Thus saith the word of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, who? Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. If your salvation is based upon John 3:16, your salvation is sure. That's the word of God. Bank on it. Live by it. Grow in it. That's a pillar that we have to have. Living the call. Living the call. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I'm asking, Father, right now that your word would so fill our souls that we would have such a burning desire to know you more and to know you better, what your word teaches and tells us. Forgive us, Father, for following men's doctrine. Forgive us, Father, for trying to believe the lies of the world and society and actors and athletes and politicians. God, help us to go back to the pure Word of God and to go back to thus saith the Lord. Because, God, our only hope is you. Man fails, but you never do. Forgive us, cleanse us, clean us, convict us, and help us to repent of our sins and turn back to you. You are our only hope. For it's in Jesus Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Take those hunks of meat and read them this week. Read them. Let God's word infiltrate and stir your souls. Amen. Amen. All right, great.